Conversations with Authors podcast. I'm your host, Alison Thompson, aka The Proof Fairy, and this podcast is a fabulous opportunity for me to meet a published author and talk to them about what inspires them to write, how they go about the writing and publishing process, and what effect it's had on their life. They also always have some great tips to share with other aspiring authors. My guest on the show today is Dr. Carol Samuel, a reflexology practitioner who is highly regarded in her field. Carol is a regular conference speaker, and she works to bridge the gap between orthodox medical practices and complementary support through science and clinical reasoning. She has had articles featured in peer-reviewed journals, research and publications in the UK and internationally, and in 2021 she published her first book, The Tenacious Student, Non-Academic to PhD. Hello Carol, it's an absolute delight to meet you today. So I gather your book, The Tenacious Student, has only just come out just in the last couple of months. So tell me a bit about it.
Okay, so the book came out on the 5th of August, was when it went live for publication. Mm-hmm. And the book is basically, it's a factual account of my quest to gain a PhD, but it's from the perspective of a non-academic. So I didn't get any school qualifications. I didn't do an undergraduate degree. I just went straight in and did a PhD.
Wow.
And it's about my journey. So it talks about the highs and lows of academia. It's compassionate, it's honest, and it's really an emotional journey as well for me about getting through the processes and everything that happened along the way.
Wow. Yeah. So what inspired you to write the book about the journey?
I think it's been one of those things that had been in me for a very, very long time. With COVID, I think I was given an opportunity because I teach. So I teach across the UK normally and also nationally. But because I wasn't able to go anywhere, we were stuck at home. I had an opportunity of time, which I don't normally have, to be able to put my thoughts, feelings, emotions on paper. And that's what I did, I think. It just happened.
Right, yeah. So how did you go about writing it? Did you plan it all out, or did you just kind of write from the heart without a plan at all? Or how did you go about writing the book?
Well, it was a bit of both. So I'm not sure if you're aware, there's a lady called Karen Williams here in the UK of Purchase Books, and she was promoting something called the Smart Author System. And so I joined that and I got the structure that way. But I also kept all my lab notes, all my meeting notes, all my journals. And I just sort of put it together, but the difficulty arose because it's not just a memoir. It's a memoir over a small period of time, so 10 years, but it's also a science book.
Okay.
So it doesn't fit neatly into any particular category or any particular genre.
Okay. So is it a science book because that was the science was the topic of your PhD? I mean, I'm sure the topic of your PhD was very, very, very a very tiny part of science, but is that what your PhD was? Was in the field of science?
So my PhD, it was the first in the world. And it was based on the effects of reflexology for supporting people in pain.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So the science bit, if you like, talks about the experiments that I did, why I had to do them, and how those in some way connected to my own personal levels of pain and stress with everything that was going on around me.
Okay.
So during that time, that 10-year period, my husband and I were both involved in the tsunami in Sri Lanka.
Wow, gosh.
we went through a lot of personal challenges in terms of us as a couple. And at the end of it, I was diagnosed with cancer and my director of studies was also diagnosed with cancer. Even before I'd done all the corrections to the thesis, I was then still going through a cancer journey. So it talks about all of that as well. And also, for me, the reason for writing it is A, it was cathartic. And B, I think I held on to an awful lot of anger that I needed to get out because I didn't feel as if I was supported on that journey. And it's only when you take a step back and you look at these things that you can actually be an outsider and see what actually happened. So, yeah, it was a great journey in that respect as well.
That's so true of writing a book, isn't it? If you write a book about a challenging time in your life, you do get that, you kind of get all the emotion out while you're writing it, but you also get to see it from a different perspective. And that can give you a whole new understanding of what you've been through and help you feel more positive about negative experiences, I guess, because you can see that you've got to the other end of it for a start, which is a huge positive in itself, isn't it? But yeah, you can get an awful lot of healing through writing about something.
You can, absolutely. And you know, people write journals all the time, don't they? And it's a good way of offloading emotions. Even if you do nothing with it, we use it a lot in pain management as well. So people that are in pain, you know, write about how you're feeling because of the psychological impact of that pain experience. And even if you never do anything with it, and many people don't, it is incredibly cathartic just to get it out of your system and onto paper. And that also has a physiological impact. So your thoughts and feelings have biological consequences. So to get those feelings down on paper can make a huge difference to how your physiology is, if you like, as well.
Right. Yeah. It sounds like writing about the journey was quite a journey in itself.
It was. It was a 10-year period as well. Like I said, I started it in 2002. And I didn't actually complete it until 2011.
Okay, yeah. Oh, so that was the PhD journey. And then you were writing about it then in 2021, were you?
Yeah, so I started it round about May 2020. Where are we now? 2020, oh gosh.
In lockdown, in the first lockdown, I guess.
2020, in lockdown, I started writing it. And it was published in August. So it took me a little over a year from start to finish.
Right. Yeah. So how did you get the book published?
So I went self-publishing with a company called SWOT Books and lovely Sam Pierce, who runs SWOT Books. She helped me with all of that process and that went incredibly well. No stress for me, really. It has a limited audience, I think. Having said that, I could be wrong. I'm not a book writer as such. I'm not a publisher, so I don't know. We'll see. It's early days yet. Mm-hmm. But I did self-publish. My niece is an artist, so she's a master of art. She did the cover for me. So that's it, really, I guess, with that.
Yeah. So it sounds like, like we've said, it was a journey writing the book about a journey that you've been on yourself. What did you learn about yourself through writing the book?
Oh, difficult question. What did I learn about myself? That I'm better than I think. I had a lot of self-esteem issues, self-confidence. I know a lot more than I feel I do. So I had problems with confidence because throughout my PhD journey, I was told I couldn't, I shouldn't, I wouldn't. I didn't get the support that perhaps somebody who had come up through the ranks, if you like, would have done. I was in a science faculty studying a complementary medicine.
Okay.
Nobody wanted me, and there was no funding for it. So I learned that I'm a lot tougher than I thought I was. I have a huge amount of resilience. And in fact, the title of the book, The Tenacious Student, came about because my director of studies, after my Viva exam, had called me into her office to say, the Viva went well, you still have corrections to do, but you haven't actually completed yet. But I will tell you now, in all of my years as a lecturer, I have never come across such a tenacious student. So that's where the title came from.
That is such lovely praise, isn't it? That's fantastic. Yeah. I left school after my A-levels and then I didn't do a degree and then went back and did a degree in my 30s as a mature student. So that felt like quite a big deal for me. But to go and do a PhD, having not taken any, been on that academic journey at all, just that in itself is a huge achievement. And it sounds like, without the support and with other things going on as well. Yeah, I think you've earned your title of Dr. Carol Samuel, I think. Definitely.
I think that's the other thing as well. I probably shied away from the title for a long time because you kind of feel that I felt that I didn't earn it. I hadn't earned it, that maybe at the end of it all, it was given to me. But they don't give these things away. They're rigorous testing processes. And yes, I did finally get there. I did finally get and earn the title of doctor. And now I do use it. And it feels good to be able to use it because it reminds me of the journey that I went through to achieve it.
I was going to say a reward for the hard work, just a symbol of all the hard work that you put into getting to that stage. And you have every right to use it, don't you? And so, Dr. Carol, and now a published author as well. So
now a published author as well. Absolutely. Yeah. You asked me what I learned. And I think probably the other thing I learned is that I can write. So again, another issue with my PhD was that when you're writing something scientific, obviously there's a kind of language that they use in science. And it was incredibly complicated, past participle, no colloquial terms, everything referenced, et cetera, which is hard. Especially if you're not used to writing academically anyway, be able to write a book in a conversational style in my own language. Wow. That's such a lovely feeling. It was kind of like having a conversation. So, as I'm talking to you, that's a little bit like the way that I've written in the book. I said to you, there is science in there as well. So I have put references in the book, quite a lot of references for people that would be interested in the research elements of it. But I've tried to not dumb it down, but tell it in a way that people understand, that people will feel inspired by it.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of each chapter, I have a section which is called Looking Back. And that's that reflective period. I said to you at the beginning, if you're on the outside and you're being more objective, you're looking in now, and you can actually then start to break down, well, what actually did happen then? Really as bad as I thought it was, what did I learn? So it's about the lessons I learned along the way as well, for me personally, and also for me academically.
Right. Yeah. So do you think other people would be inspired to maybe go into academia as a result of your experience, or do you think you'd have put them off it because you didn't get the support and it was such a challenging journey?
No, I hope I didn't put them off it. I mean, the feedback that I've had so far has been absolutely superb. Right. And most of it is about people saying to me they wish they'd had a book like that when they started their studies. They did feel inspired by it. They felt a great deal of empathy, if you like, for me, if they'd been on something similar. But I think what's come out of it so far is that people liked the style of writing. They liked the fact that I was sharing my soul, if you like, about the journey with them. And that's a tough one if you're a writer as well, I think. Bearing your soul to the wider public or even your peers is hard because they've got you on this little pedestal somewhere that you're their tutor and you teach this, that and the other. Well, for me, you teach this, that and the other, and they don't associate you being where you are with it ever being a struggle or with you having a personal life at the same time or trying to have a personal life at the same time. So when you actually put it down on paper and they get to read it, then they also take a step back and say, crikey, you know, that was a tough road, you know, respect. So I've received recognition, I've received respect for getting there, for doing it, and hoping it will inspire others to go into research, even in a small way.
Yeah, I mean that's great things to come out of publishing the book, considering that it's only been out for a couple of months now. Have you got plans to sort of take it on the road, or you know, anything lined up that's happening as a result of the book that will take your story further?
Now that's an issue that I'm struggling with, to be honest. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not great. I'm not a marketing person. I haven't employed a marketing person, only because it's blooming expensive self-publishing, and we all look at what's the return on investment these days. Am I looking for the return on my investment in many different ways? I think not just financially. Perhaps I'll never get that financial return, but there are and will be other ways that I can get that. So hopefully when I can get back to face-to-face teaching, there will be more marketing of it. I'm certainly been invited to different conferences to speak in 2022, so I'll be able to promote it there. I have done some interviews already about the book. The challenge, or the biggest challenge for me, is getting it to the people that may want to read it, maybe getting it into university libraries and things like that. So another learning curve, I think.
Yeah, definitely. But no, what you said is really interesting, and it's I think some people go into a book thinking it's going to make them rich and famous, and that's not going to happen, is it? That not the rich part anyway. Maybe the famous bit. But I think it is very much about looking at what other benefits are going to come out of writing a book and becoming an author. And it could be that sort of becoming an expert or being invited to speak or being invited onto to various media platforms or supporting people or inspiring people, and it's those things that I think you need to look on as the rewards of writing the book, isn't it, rather than how much money is dropping in the in the bank accounts.
I mean, even if you went with a publisher, the royalties aren't brilliant, but I just think, you know, there's more to it than that. There's certainly, for me, there was that emotional link that I needed to get out. So, yes, there was a cost to it. But what's the bigger cost if you don't do it, to your health, you know, with something like that? So you can look at it from either side, really. I needed to get that out of my system. I just wasn't sure how to do it initially. And then just one day, I had a little bit of structural help from Karen and the program that she was running. And I had a day of learning with her as well, which helped. And it just gave me the focus. If you're doing something similar, you will be telling people, you know, who is your reader? Who is your avatar? What do they look like? Who are you writing it for? All of those questions. Yes, having people like you around to support us in that can be extremely beneficial.
Yeah, it's very much about thinking who your ideal reader is and what you want them to get out of it as well. Especially if it's a memoir-based thing, because kind of someone's life story or a section of their life story. It's interesting. It's about your life. But what can I get out of it as a reader? That's kind of where you need to look, isn't it? And it sounds for you that you've got it in the sort of inspiring other people to follow the path that you took. Is kind of the area that one of the areas that you've covered. But I think, people, once as an author, once you've got it clear in your head what you want people to get out of the book, it's much easier to actually write it, isn't it? Because and who it is that's reading it, you know who you're writing for and what you want to tell them.
That's probably the biggest part, isn't it? The planning and knowing who it's for. I don't know who it was that said that all of us have a story in us somewhere, or have a book in us somewhere. Some of it should be written, some of it shouldn't. if you think you have something to write, write it. You never know who's going to pick it up and say, do you know what? That really is a good book. And I really think that we can go with that and you can do this, that and the other. But it is such an amazing feeling. A, to hold a copy of your book. When I first got that first book through, it was an incredible feeling to think, wow, I wrote that. It's got all over it, you know. it was a really good feeling to hold that.
Yeah. It is, but it's quite emotional, isn't it? When you open your book and it's there. And it's all printed and shiny and it has a cover and it looks like a book. And it's like, oh, my gosh, I did this. It is quite something.
It is. It's not just words in your head anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Carol, it's been really lovely to talk to you today to find out about your book. I'm intrigued. What's next for you? Do you think there'll be any more books?
Yes. there is another book. There might even be two books. One of them I do plan writing with a colleague. I don't want to go into too much detail with that one at the moment, but it will be a very specific book for the reflexology community. And the other book is probably going to be around pain science and pain management, different techniques and things like that. So, there's a couple of books there in my head still. Mm-hmm. Still doing a lot of research, again, hoping that I may get further opportunities in research, but this time funded.
Okay.
Somebody going to pay me to do that job would be really lovely.
So you haven't been put off academia then?
No, I was very long time. Yeah. I was, yeah. Partly because I didn't have the confidence, didn't think I had it in me. But now I know that I do. And yes, I've got a lot to offer. So I'm not ready to retire yet.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. Carol, Dr. Carol, it's been lovely talking to you today and finding out all about your book. Where can people find out more about you online?
So they can go to my website, which is www.reflexmaster.co.uk. And that's Reflex Master, all as one word. What you'll see there is a brief about me, my research, and the training that I offer for reflexologists who are supporting people in pain.
Okay, and they can find your book on there as well, presumably.
They can find my book on there as well, yeah. Go to the shop And you'll see it there, The Tenacious Student in all its glory. You can also find it on Amazon, Blackwell's, Waterstones, an awful lot of the online stores as well. But yeah, okay, have a look at the read and let me have your feedback.
Oh, yes. No, reviews are everything, aren't they? Feedback is so important.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being my guest on the podcast today, Carol. It's been really lovely to talk to you.
Thanks, Alison. It's been lovely to meet you.
Thank you to Dr. Carol Samuel for being my guest on the show today. Carol's book, The Tenacious Student, Non-Academic to PhD, is available from all good booksellers. And you can also find out more about Carol on her website, www.reflexmaster.co.uk. There's a link in the show notes. If you've been inspired by Carol's story and you'd like to find out more about writing a book about your personal journey, then let's talk. You'll find me at www.theproofairy.com, where you can book a free exploratory call or order my new book, What's Your Story, which is a guide to writing and publishing your first book. You'll also find all the episodes of this podcast there, and if you're already a published author, you can apply to be a guest on the show. If you've enjoyed this podcast, then please subscribe, share it, rate it, and tell your friends about it. This has been a Proof Fairy production, and I'll be back next week with another inspiring interview with another amazing author. Bye for now.